All right, welcome to the latest episode of the R. Bill Simmons podcast. Happy to be coming to you guys again here as the NFL season comes into full swing, and then we just got some breaking NBA news, and we're going to talk about both those sports and a lot of other Simmons content, Ringer content, with our guest tonight, Wolf Financial, full-time Spaces host and influencer. So huge, happy to have him on the pod. And Wolfman, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. And I almost blanked until you mentioned that there was some big break in NBA news that came up. So hopefully we'll talk about that too. I'm excited to dive into everything.
Yeah, so I want to get first the story of how we came across each other, because there is a finance meme account on Twitter that was posting about Billions coming back, and he was hating on it, as I think a lot of people do, right? The show, people don't like it in the later seasons. And so the Bill Simmons subreddit picked up on that and said, this poster doesn't appreciate the true genius of Brian Koppelman. And the reason that was so funny was because the subreddit does not like that guy at all. He's been on Bill's podcast a number of times. He's one of the most hated guests. But the Twitter account that posted that didn't understand the joke, because he's not in the sub listening to Simmons. So then you commented on that. We got together. Now, was that the first time you had come across the subreddit?
No, I actually saw you guys earlier than that. I think I check Simmons's Twitter every here and there just when like big things happen, and I might have seen you on there, or I saw you interacting with some other accounts, but it wasn't the first time that I saw the subreddit. But I'm not a big Reddit person. I'm a big Twitter slash X person. So I definitely saw you on here. I think the first time I saw it, I was trying to figure out, is this Bill Simmons on Reddit? And like trying to like look at that. So I think I took like a deeper look at that at first. And then I realized what you guys were doing, but I had seen it before, but then we actually had an interaction.
Yeah, well, it's funny, because there's a lot of people that I find on Twitter that have not been to the subreddit, and I always tell people you got to go on there, because it's this huge congregation of Bill Simmons fans from all different years, eras and all that stuff. And so it's just for anybody listening to Simmons, whether for a year, 20 years, or reading him for 20 years, it's a great place to be. But so that's where I want to start with you. What is your history with being a Bill Simmons fan?
Yeah, I love the question. So, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago at this point, I just kind of had a major shift in my life where I went from listening to music, and music was a big thing, and I would make pod, you know, like a Spotify playlist and all that type of stuff. And then I started working, it's probably around the time I started working at Goldman, or right after that when I was working at a private equity shop, that I started just shifting over and listening to podcasts. I don't know exactly what it was. I think that somebody was just talking to me about, hey, when you're listening to music, you're just hearing the same thing over and over and over. You're never actually gaining anything. You need to start getting into this area. I was like, okay, that makes sense to me. But then I went and I listened to, I guess, the traditional podcasts, like a Dave Ramsey and other stuff. I was like, I don't really like this. I feel like, you know, I was listening to music and as an escape. I still want some type of escape, but I like the idea of people kind of talking. So I actually found the podcast realm off that. And I think Spotify just pushed Simmons towards me when it came to sports content. And maybe that was just because he's the biggest, right? He's the godfather, the podfather, as they call him. And so it started coming across, and I started listening, and I think I got hooked pretty fast. And I, at the time, I would actually walk to work because work was only a mile or two. And because of that, I would just listen to these on my walk to work, and walking to work and back, I pretty much was able to make my way through every single one of these pods. And then I was like, okay, there has to be more content. So I started digging into the ecosystem. I started listening to Russillo's show. Then I found their fantasy football podcast and a bunch of the others. And I started really looking through the ecosystem. But for me, and I'll kind of end it on this, the thing that attracted me the most to it was I felt like when I listened to Simmons versus a lot of these other podcasts, I felt like I was there. It was like we were in a living room together. There's moments where Simmons almost asks the crowd for our opinion, right? Almost talks to us, especially those beginning monologues where it's just a back and forth between him and us. And it's almost like he values your opinion. And I was like, that is something that I would love to have the power to be able to do as well, is have people feel like when I'm talking to them, even if I'm not having a conversation with them, that they're a part of it.
Yeah, I think that is why he's got listeners coming back year after year after year. And I joke about it on this pod. People joke about it in the sub and on Twitter. We do think that he's post Apex in terms of the actual product, but we're still coming back. And he is like family. It feels like you're right there with him and you know all of his friends, all his buddies, and what they think. So what he has built is really, it's really incredible. And obviously there's a huge community of listeners and fans of his. Now, you were saying as well that you have sort of modeled some of, or even a lot of what you're doing now after Simmons.
100%. So for those that are just unfamiliar with Spaces, which we mentioned in the beginning, it's basically a podcast but done live. So you go into Twitter, X, you go to the top of your timeline, anyone that you're following that's currently in a space, it'll show up in a little bubble. You click in, there's no video, it's just audio, and there's a host, and usually they have other speakers on stage and they're running this. I had the pleasure of pretty much being the first beta tester for Twitter. So I've been hosting Spaces for 2.5 years at this point. And I was one of the OGs that reached out, was like, I love this. I want to be a part of it. They brought me in. They literally started paying me to host Spaces. I've helped them build multiple pieces of the product by
Oh,
being in
wow.
design meetings, feedback meetings, stuff like that. Yeah, I got a 1099 from Twitter last year. Fun fact. And so with that, I was learning early on that it was all about the voice and the way that I approached it. And I was like, I really want my listeners, the same thing as you said, regardless of the content and what we're talking about, I want them to feel like they're a part of it. They're there. There's something to come back to. And so I just started modeling my mannerisms, my voice, my tonality, things along those lines, very similar to how Simmons was doing it. And I noticed, even how he introduces people, right? Intros, outros. How he took breaks. And now I wasn't necessarily taking breaks full on, but I was doing ad reads and stuff like that. I had to monetize at some point. So a lot of those pieces, I started just bringing them in. And that was something that I really liked because I didn't want it to be super formal. I didn't want to be something that was different. So for me, we're talking finance, we're talking stocks, we're talking money, but I'm doing it with the tone of someone talking sports, which I really like.
That's really interesting because I've always kind of wondered. I've been a huge Simmons fan for so long, and I have thought there is room for a finance slash investments type of podcast that is more Simmons-esque because I think you get a lot of them. They don't have the feeling that you're talking about. They don't have the humor or the familiarity. It's sort of to the. It's really it's to the numbers, it's to the deep diving into the weeds of these stocks, and it's not necessarily the friendliness and the levity you're going to get with Simmons. So I do think, and I'm new to your content, but I feel like there's a lane for this, and I'm almost surprised that Simmons at the Ringer, and I would even throw Barstool into this too. Like I'm almost surprised that some of these big podcast houses haven't tried or haven't been successful attacking this lane because I do think especially over the last couple of years, I mean this GameStop movie's coming out, right? Like there's a demand for this, I think. And presumably there is based on the success that you've had with your spaces.
Yeah, so Simmons stays mostly in the sports lane, but he does bring in other speakers from time to time. And you'll notice during the Dogecoin craze, he brought someone on. I think it was like a New York Times guy, and they had a conversation around it. He's done COVID conversations. He does other stuff. To be honest, he probably doesn't do them very often because I don't see their analytics, but I assume they heavily drop off when they start talking about these other things. And so, that's probably the same with finance. People are just like, this isn't what I came here for. This isn't, it's all about competence, right? At the end of the day, that's one of the things that I learned, especially being on social media, is anybody can say anything, right? I can literally copy paste every single one of Elon Musk's posts. However, people don't care about it because it's coming from me versus him, right? They care about the meme or the thought or whatever it is when it comes from him, but not when it comes from me because I don't have that area of competence. And it's the same thing for Simmons. Nobody looks to Simmons for investing advice. That's not really what he does. If he did entrepreneurship, if he did how to build a business, how to sell a business, I think he'd do great there, right? It's all about leaning into the area that people see as competence for you. But with that being said, they have brought on, and occasionally they do talk about it, and they've had people start to make over the last year or two as the stock markets become more integrated into society, especially with younger people, they make some of these references of calls, puts, right? I'm buying calls on that. I'm long, things along those lines. I have seen them kind of work that in a little bit. But the big thing that I'll tell you is the reason that they never got involved with Spaces is because they're exclusive to Spotify, right? And that was actually something that in the beginning I was kind of trying to make a move on. I tried to do a few sports spaces. I was like, you know, the whole Ringer guys, they can never do spaces really because they're all exclusive to Spotify. And so Spotify built out Spotify Live, which then epically failed.
Yes.
And they literally shut it down. And so they just don't even have an option to go live and have something like that. They can't come here because they have an exclusive deal. So that's something which I've always kind of like thought into and wondered about how I can take advantage of. But I wouldn't say I've fully dove into it just yet.
Wow. So this is, so the, for listeners out there, this is exclusive content that we're getting in this podcast. I have not heard that before, that those, but that makes complete sense. And I remember when he, I think Bill and Kevin O'Connor were doing some locker room live stuff for Spotify. And yeah, like you said, it was just a complete fail. A couple thousand people got in at most. And I mean, it just totally bombed. Whereas, I mean, clearly with spaces, you know, this thing, you know, it is a, you can do, you know, you can do anything. And I think that what is interesting about Spotify doing this is that, I mean, I guess the Twitter angle is that if somebody has a pretty big account, then, and like yourself, for example, people are naturally going to see the spaces. So that's an easy advertisement for it, essentially. People follow you, you can schedule the spaces so they're notified of it. With Spotify, maybe the discovery angle is not really there. So Simmons probably announces on Twitter that he's doing a Spotify Live, when wouldn't it just make sense for him to do it on Twitter because everybody's already there? So yeah, I do wonder when those exclusives run out, because if you have a big following on Twitter and you want to get even more following for your podcast and whatnot, it absolutely feels like it makes a great sense. It makes a lot of sense to go out and do spaces, at least occasionally.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, what Simmons has, which is really, really good for him, and obviously he spent a lot of time building this company, is he has the draw kind of regardless to his podcast. So spaces, for most people, myself included, heavily rely upon having a great supporting cast of other speakers that are coming in, people that you're throwing the mic around to. You really want to have full spaces, usually 5 to 10 speakers. You can go back and forth. They bring in different audiences, but Simmons just kind of has the audience, right? They're already captured and they'll come in and listen to whoever he brings on. You know, him bringing on Sal makes for a good episode, but it's not like Sal's bringing the audience. It's Simmons bringing the audience, right? And so on and so forth. And then all these other podcasts that are underneath his brand of The Ringer, he kind of just brought in. So he has a lot of power there. So I'll credit them, you know, with that. But yeah, they got into a little bit of a pickle where, like you were saying, they would post on here saying, hey, we're doing Spotify Live, you know, come over there. Spotify just messed up by not simultaneously building it into the app. I don't know why they tried to build a separate app. It made no sense. You had to go download another app. All that should have happened is the same thing that happens on Twitter. When you go live, you should have the button to go live on Spotify. Boom, little ring around your profile picture inside of Spotify as you're live. Everybody that has, you know, notifications on for you. I've got notifications on for Simmons Podcast, right? When he goes live, it should send me a notification. It should show up at the top of my Spotify screen if I come into it. All these pieces that they could have done, but they just decided to build something separate. And you know why? They did that because it was a gamble to them and they weren't going to try to build it into the main infrastructure on the gamble. They just didn't go all the way and they lost because of that.
Yeah, it's, I don't hate them for trying for growth and experimenting, but at a certain point, you also have to wonder what the actual strategy is. And that's something that I've been talking a lot about this podcast on with guests, because every couple of weeks, it seems, you get this story about Spotify's cutting back on podcasting. You hear that the strategy is not going as well. The latest Wall Street Journal article, I couldn't believe, and this wasn't an indication of The Ringer, but they were saying some of these celebrity podcasts, $200,000 an episode, at least, to actually make one. I'm not so sure they're making their money back on that. So I appreciate them taking risks, but at a certain point, you have to wonder, what is the actual non-music strategy at Spotify, and is it working? And I'm really not sure that it's working at this point.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. All right. So you listen to a lot of Ringer stuff. So you're obviously a huge Simmons fan. I think either you tweeted or said to me that you've heard pretty much every Simmons episode for the past 4 years. What else are you liking at The Ringer?
Yeah, so Simmons, I would say, is kind of, you know, one of the stalwarts, but I would actually say my favorite show has become the Fantasy Football Podcast, which is what it's called during the fantasy season. They change it to something else during the summer and other areas of the year. But that is three guys. And you know what? I really should write into them at some point. I really want to get these guys onto my pod. If they're listening to this, please come on. I'll get you guys some good listenership. But it's Danny Heifetz, Danny Kelly, and Craig Horlbeck, who were all working at The Ringer in different capacities. The Dannys are both writers, I believe. And then Craig kind of is like a savant of many jobs. He's an editor. He's a bunch of other stuff. And they got the opportunity in some way, shape, or form. I never really heard the full story to actually go and host their own podcast. And they just have incredible chemistry. I mean, I wish I had that type of chemistry with another co-host, the back and forth. Every pod that they do, they basically do about 30 to 45 minutes, I would say, of serious talk about fantasy stuff. But the big thing, and then they basically cap it off with usually about 15 minutes of complete nonsense, talking about random artists, talking about emails that they get sent in. They ask people to email in on just the craziest stuff. They now do polls because Spotify introduced polls into the app. So one of the polls was like, if you, like, they were talking about a professor who had left his mic on while going to the bathroom and the whole class heard him going to the bathroom. And they did a poll on, like, would you have ran to the bathroom and told the professor that his mic was on? Like, just random stuff like that. It's like, how is this in a fantasy sports podcast? But it works because it's works with their past personality. So Heifetz is a host and he kind of runs it. And he's like, I mean, I'm Jewish. He's a New York Jewish guy. I've seen the personality. I like it. I think I vibe with it pretty well. They all have kind of their teams, but thank God none of them. See, this is the only problem with Simmons, is that he's such a Boston fan. You know, if Simmons wasn't such a Boston homer, I mean, it'd be the greatest podcast of all time, right? But that's the one big detraction. But luckily, these other guys are not. Even though Craig is a Steelers fan, he doesn't take it out on Baltimore. He's a Steelers fan, and Simmons hates Baltimore, which is my team, by the way, the Ravens, more than Craig, who's a Pittsburgh fan. So it just doesn't make sense to me. But anyways, they have great chemistry, but the other thing that they really do well is the preparation. So you can tell when they come to each pod, like Simmons does a good job of preparation, but it's not like necessarily like they go through a bunch of different areas. And to me, here's a big difference. I feel like Simmons, maybe I'm wrong on this, I feel like someone else prepares most of the material for him, right? Like a Kyle or someone else goes and does research and like slaps down is like, here's the info for you today. And these other guys feel more to me like they went and did the research. And they actually said like, hey, we're going to do, they do a power hour every Wednesday where they power rank things. And they just are like so into it. And you can tell they all made their list beforehand. And then they compared their list and they went back and forth and they do their waiver wire and they play trivia every week to see who gets who off the waiver wire. It's just like all these gimmicks that are well planned out that work between them. They're consistent. They're churning out like four episodes a week during the fantasy season. And, you know, it's stuff that I can relate to, too, because I play a lot of fantasy and sometimes Simmons stuff, you know, it can go all over the place, right? Like, I'm not a big baseball guy. I keep up with it here and there because I guess my Orioles somehow pulled a magic trick this year. But, you know, Simmons is just in a different area. And he doesn't have that traditional co-host, right? He doesn't have two other people, one other person who he's always going to have chemistry with. He has great chemistry with Sal. He has good chemistry with others, but it's not like they're the regulars, right? And so for these guys, I really religiously listen to their stuff. I just knock it out usually the morning that it comes out. I actually, this is super weird. Other people probably don't do this. So I work out every morning and I listen to podcasts while I work out, usually Ringer podcasts, which people find very strange because most people listen to music while they work out. But I just listen to the podcast. It's my time. I'm on Spaces all day. So I don't really have time outside that unless I'm like in a shower or something. So that's when I'm listening to it, but really big fan of theirs. I'll say outside that, I'm a fan of the Extra Point Taken. It's on the Ringer NFL feed, and that's Sheil Kapadia and Ben Solak. Again, I think that they do a good job. I think Solak's a great football head, and the way he explains things. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but Spotify even added video too. So now they're doing like football breakdowns of Puka Nacua, you know, running 15-yard routes, and I can actually like watch the film breakdown on Spotify, which is pretty interesting. And then outside of that, you know, Russillo. I was listening to the Austin Reeves show, or it's not called the Austin Reeves show, but whatever, it's the Ringer NBA channel, but I've never listened to it before. I was listening to it for the first time today. I find it so interesting that Austin Reeves is trying to get signed and he's talking shit on teams on a podcast while he's a free agent trying to get signed by teams. Fascinating to me. But yeah, that's probably the most of them. I sometimes just flip through like random channels when I run out of just run out of stuff to listen to, and I'll just go through. But those are most of the Ringer channels, and then I also listen to some of the Matthew Barisi Fantasy Life stuff, and I listen to the Ravens Lounge podcast. But I would say that hits. Oh, and don't forget, it's not really basketball season right now, so they're not really putting out a lot of episodes. Although it looks like they finally did one today on Damian Lillard. But can't forget the Mismatch. That's another podcast that just has great chemistry with Kevin O'Connor and Chris Vernon. Great chemistry for those guys. I used to listen to them more than I do now, but I still say I'd make most episodes. But yeah, I mean, they have just back and forth, Verno at the beginning, like good chemistry.
Love that. Nice. So yeah, you were a podcast connoisseur of The Ringer. Yeah, the fantasy football one, I didn't realize they were doing that nearly every weekday. Now, how so it's a very entertaining show. How would
Oh, yeah.
you rate their analysis of fantasy? Is this helping you do well in fantasy? Are they coming up with good ideas?
Well, that's the beauty to it, right? Is, and they've said this many times, and I think we all know this, fantasy football is a shit show. It doesn't, it, there's no actually, like, I don't know. I don't actually believe that any of these analysts are like that great at it. All the analysts were like, oh my God, Diontae Johnson, he's the pick this year. And that was every podcast. And then what do you know? He's injured second week. Oh, Nick Chubb, he's the best pure runner in the NFL. Spend $58 of your fantasy budget on. Well, there goes his MCL, right? It's like, does anybody really know with fantasy? Is anyone that good? I would say this year, I probably put more time than ever into fantasy prep. And I think this is my worst year in fantasy in like 3 to 4 years. I got one league I'm undefeated in, and I'll keep running with that one. That team is, they're killing it. I got McCaffrey, I got Mostert, running backs 1 and 2. I got James Cook, running back 12. I got some good wide receivers in there, AJ Brown and others, Josh Allen at quarterback. So that team's good. But, I think for me, I listen to it more to like, I tell myself I'm listening to it to get fantasy advice and to learn something. But I think I'm just getting entertainment, to be honest, because I fully believe that fantasy is just, it's like, in some ways, it's like the stock market, right? Like, we all know that you're probably better off with S&P 500, but it does not stop most people from taking their pot shots at stocks.
That is a fit. I love hearing that. That is so fantastic. I might have to clip that line because that is so golden. Yeah, so I totally agree. And I think what happens sometimes is that when there's like, say it's July and there's a fantasy sleeper, and I don't really think about fantasy football in July, but say people are. But then it starts getting passed around the podcast circuit. So then this guy that, you would have been great taken in the eighth round, all of a sudden is going in the fifth round. So if all of the fantasy experts are calling the same guy a sleeper, he's going to go a few rounds earlier than he would have otherwise. So then really it's almost like a market correction because everybody's talking about him, so they properly rate him. And I kind of thought that was the situation with Calvin Ridley this year, where I remember earlier when the news was happening that he was going to the team and all that. I'm like, yeah, Calvin Ridley, kind of mid-round guy. I'd love to take a flyer on him. He could be the number one receiver in that offense. But then everybody seemingly loved him in the preseason, and then this guy's going second round in some leagues. So I feel like that's a part of it too, but I would love to get a breakdown, and I feel like some people do this, but somebody breaking down the various fantasy experts and then rating them every year and seeing, are any of these guys actually coming up with great takes? Or, like you said, is it really for the entertainment purposes? And, like, entertainment purposes, on that, I love when Barry comes on Bill's pod, his annual fantasy pod with them, because you do hear some good insights from Barry. But then you will absolutely hear some absolutely inane takes from Simmons. And then you're also reminded that, unbelievably, apparently Bill Simmons still thinks he should have 3 to 4 QBs and defenses on his team at all times. It just that continues to blow my mind of how Bill Simmons plays fantasy football.
Yeah, I have a couple comments on here. First, it'd be wonderful if someone could take massive, rankings of all these analysts and see how they actually showed up. Because really, what happens is you just have analysts within an area, right? Like CBS analysts, and then they're just ranking out of those, right? So it's hard to tell how they compare to others. I'll give them some credit. There's some times where they mention something, and that's a helpful tidbit. For example, Danny Kelly was kind of adamant that, you could get Raheem Mostert in pretty much the last round in most drafts. People were not sure. There was Devon Achane coming in. There was Jeff Wilson. This was before Jeff Wilson went on IR, which happened right before the season. So, you know, I went and I grabbed Mostert in one of those, and 3 weeks in, he's in the RB1, right? So, I mean, he scored 45 points last week, and it was great. Now, then, to their credit, they don't get so attached, right? They did a buy low, sell high pod this week, and he was like, sell Mostert now. He's 31 mm-hmm. years old. He gets injured. I told you to draft him last round. He's doing great. Let's get trade him for someone draft in the second, you know, that kind of thing. And I tried to trade someone Mostert and Michael Thomas for Tyreek Hill. Did not work. But, you know, there's some credit to those. Another guy that I brought on, Elias Christ, I want to say. He was the CEO for Matthew Berry's Fantasy Life. He came on my space and we were talking and he was like, James Cook, dude could be a league winner. He's kind of going in like that fifth area. James Cook, RB12, took him in two leagues, looking good. You know, so that was a good one. And then I would say there's one more person who someone like mentioned to me and they were like, oh, this guy. But I don't know. Overall, you know, there's helpful tidbits. But then, yeah, a lot of times they're just like all over someone. And then, you know, it's really hard with fantasy because there's all these injuries and stuff like that. So you just never know. Now, Simmons, I do not trust for fantasy advice, I would say. Unfortunately, Simmons is too biased. With certain players and teams. And you just can't be that way with fantasy, right? With fantasy, you have to be able to see the entire landscape. And he can't, right? Going into this year, he thought the Patriots were going to be good. I mean, he's like, but I'm not a homer because I said they were going to be bad last year. I'm sorry, Bill Simmons, how long have you been doing this? 1 year does not make a trend, right? So you got to kind of think through some of these pieces. And he just can't see the full play field. So like you're saying, you know, he'll go in and draft whatever. Also, makes way too much fun of snake drafts, calls them the booger picker draft. I like auction. I did two auction this year. I did two snake. Some people like snake. I find an auction, you know, sometimes I do good, but to be honest, my snake draft that I did this year, I'm doing better in. It can just go back and forth. So just some thoughts.
Quick, brief question. Was the Ringer Fantasy Show also high on Tony Pollard?
So I don't know if you saw this, but he brought them on, the three guys, for a final fantasy discussion on Bill Simmons' pod right before the season. It was about a week before. And this was like, and he does like, all right, name the player that is going to break your heart. Name the player that this. And he was like, name the player that is going to be, you know, like the biggest, the best person in this league, like the one that you must have. And not just him, all four of them said Tony Pollard.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
The reason that I asked that is because we've done a Reddit Bill Simmons fantasy league for the past 2 years now. The guy that has Mostert just put him up for trade, which I, you know, isn't necessarily indicative of him listening to the Potter now, but this guy also drafted James Cook, and this guy drafted Tony Pollard much earlier than the sleeper rankings had him. So I think we just discovered that this guy's listening to that podcast because he's playing all the hits now in terms of that fantasy show.
That makes sense.
That's really funny. All right. So they actually give good fantasy advice. That's interesting. Yeah. So you're guess the lines, you would say. What's your you like fantasy, guess the lines and gambling. Do you ever do gambling talk or kind of what's your take there? Because this conversation has actually started to come up in the sub where people are getting a little bit sick of all the gambling content. And I don't really mind it that much. I don't really gamble myself, but if it's an advertisement, whatever. But there's a little bit more of a growing chorus. I don't think it's the majority at all yet. It's a minority. But there's a chorus of people saying, I'm a little bit sick and tired of all the gambling content. So where do you kind of stand on that?
I have not had that thought personally. I first off did not look at the lines this week so that we could do guess the lines if we wanted to do that on here live. I've not looked at any lines. With that being said, when it comes to gambling, so I used to gamble a lot more when I was in college and I haven't really gambled as much since. Basically, I moved out of a state that allowed gambling. I'm back in Maryland now. Maryland now allows gambling. They legalized it again last season. I put a couple bets here and there. I did like a $2 parlay this past weekend at like 1700 odds for like four touchdown scores. Didn't hit something like that. You know, I'll do little pieces, but yeah, I'll tune into the Ringer gambling show every here and there. I like House. I think House is funny. He just always sounds drunk. which is like an interesting character to have on a podcast. And then with Simmons, you know, I think for them, I completely understand why they lean so hard into gambling. It's because FanDuel's probably giving them like $10 million to be the exclusive sponsor of the show. So as somebody who works with sponsors religiously to make their buck, I totally don't blame them. And I totally get where it's coming from. And I understand, like, FanDuel is the sponsor of the show. You got to lean into gambling. It's got to be a bloodline of the show. So I don't blame them at all. But I can't say that I've had the thoughts on, you know, this is too much for me. I like to get it worked in. And I also, you know, I live vicariously a little bit through them, right? Because I'm not going out and I'm not putting those bets down and stuff like that very often. But I like to look at it after the week and be like, ha, you know, Simmons thought that, you know, Bengals were going to win over Baltimore. Wrong, you know, that kind of thing. And I live a little vicariously through Sal. I like his degeneracy and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say I've ever had the thought that it was like too much, but I totally get why it is the bloodline of the show. It's because it's their sponsor.
Yeah. And I love Guess the Lines because I like guessing along with the guys. I want to see if I can beat Sal and Bill. And it is kind of a fun game because it is an, you know, not that we're solving the world crises here, but it is a bit of an intellectual pursuit where, you know, you have your 3-7 is typically going to be the numbers you're around for Guess the Lines. You give the home team 3. And so there's, you got to think about the various angles and then, you know, because Vegas always wants I think what I've heard before is when they set the line, it's not necessarily what they think the differential will be. It's they're setting the line to get equal amounts of action on both sides. So there are these quote public teams where you can have the Patriots when they were with Brady, or you can have the Cowboys now, or the 49ers now, which they might get a point or two extra because Vegas knows so many people are going to bet on them. And so, you know, make it a little bit tougher and put the public more for the other team. So yeah, I think it's a really interesting pursuit. And yeah, I'm kind of the same thing as you. I don't gamble, but I love listening to Guess the Lines, and I don't do it now, but I used to listen to a podcast with Chad Millman, who is a guest on Bill's pod for a while, that he introduced Bill to the Las Vegas Super Contest, which is when everyone, like, you know, countrywide picks 5 games a year against the spread, and then they give $1 million or something to the person that picked the best record against the spread for the full year. So it's interesting to follow along, even if you're not betting. It's just sort of, you know, what is actually happening. And then, of course, you know, to your point about Bill, it is fun rooting against his $1 million picks and hoping that he goes 0-5 every week and loses all his fake money.
Yeah, but what happened to Schrager? Where'd that go? I like Schrager.
Well, this has been a topic of discussion on Twitter and the sub. I think people look, I think how many years has he been on? He was on for maybe a couple years. And
too long to say?
Yeah, so I think initially people weren't as big of a fan of him because, you know, there are some things that people could find annoying. He picks the Broncos to make the playoffs because he's friendly with Sean Payton doing the Fox show, whatever. He has coaches that he has the insight to, doesn't have others. But I think what people have realized this year is that it really is useful to have somebody for Bill to toss ideas off of during that pick section as opposed to do it himself. So I do think you kind of need Schrager. Maybe Solak would be the guy if there was the guy that Simmons would need. Maybe Solak's the guy, so I don't know.
No, because in my opinion, so Solak's too rational. Schrager is good because he's completely irrational. He's TV material, right? He'll say the dumbest shit and say it confidently, and it just makes for good TV and it makes for good listening. But he like actually believes it. See, the difference between Schrager and any of them is Schrager actually gets down and dirty with the players and the coaches. So he gets in there, and Rams could be like last year completely terrible, right? Like sucking and everything. And he gets it down there with Sean McVay, and he'll come out and be like, Sean McVay's going to lead them to a victory this week. He looked me in the eyes and promised it to me. You know, he just has that on-field experience and that back and forth. And that's what he brings to the show. It's because he's not just an analyst. He's actually boots on the ground talking to these people. He's much more along the lines of like a CNBC type host, right, who's like on there and actually talking to CEOs and going and like, you know, going and being at the NYSE and stuff like that and like talking to people, like that's what he is versus Solak, who is an analyst, maybe visits a couple of NFL training camps throughout the year, but, you know, doesn't actually have access to players and coaches.
Yeah, I think I've watched Schrager on that 11 a.m. Fox show. I think he's good. Like, I think you could easily throw Schrager into that Jay Glazer spot at the 12 p.m. Fox NFL Sunday. You'd fit right in. So, yeah, like you said, Schrager's great on TV and certainly Good Morning Football.
Do you agree sometimes because of his proximity to coaches and players, he just says the stupidest things confidently?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, who are his guys? His big guys were Cliff and Sean McVay.
Oh, my God.
Like, he at Sean McVay's wedding or something, so...
Yeah.
Or he was reporting something from it. So yeah, he is. But look, I mean, at least with a guy like Schrager, he is transparent about that. Whereas like with Simmons, where people get annoyed with him is him saying, like you were saying before, like, I'm being completely rational about the Patriots this year. It's like, yeah. Dude, no, you're not. You know, this is laughable that before the season you said they were one of the best teams in the league. I posted that audio a couple of days ago from before the season, but he was all in. And yeah, to your point earlier, he wasn't necessarily huge on the Patriots last year, but he was pitching Mac Jones for MVP. So if you're saying that a quarterback of a team could win the MVP, the team probably has to be pretty good in order for that to happen. So I'd have to go back to the archives to be like, what was Bill actually saying with the Patriots last year?
No, nobody changes their mind week to week like Bill Simmons, the herky jerky.
It's amazing. Yeah, and he does it. I think he's out on the Patriots already, right?
He's out on the Patriots. He's back in on the Bills. He doesn't think that the Dolphins are sustainable. It's fascinating. But again, so it makes it interesting, right? If, you know, he was right all the time, it'd be boring.
Yeah. I listened to at least some of Guess the Lines, but I forget what the lines were, if you did want to guess them.
Yeah, let's go for it. I haven't looked at a single one.
All right, nice. I've got them. Yeah, I've got the schedule up without lines.
I'm gonna be so bad at this. I've never tried this before in my life.
This will be funny. I think the listeners will like this too. All right, so we got Lions at Packers tonight.
Lions at Packers? I'm going Packers minus 1.5.
Yeah, I like that because I can't go Packers minus 3 because the Lions are better. And Pick'em would say... I'll go minus 1. You are correct. It is Packers plus 1.5.
Wait, I said Packers minus 1.5, didn't I?
Oh shit! It's okay. Yeah, Packers plus 1.5. So I was closer with Packers.
You're
minus
closer.
One.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that.
I was thinking about doing Pick'em, but yeah. So I guess I can see that where Vegas is going. The Lions are the clear better team than the Packers.
I don't know if the Lions are a clear better team than the Packers, but I think that the Lions have a lot more hype, so they want to get that betting action on them. It's like what we talked about, right? They basically could make this a pick'em, but by doing Lions minus 1.5, they're going to get more action.
Yeah, people are hot in the Lions, 100%. They're very hot. All right, let's do Falcons at Jaguars.
Good Lord. This is definitely in Simmons' poopfecta. I would say
I think this is Vegas zone-y for me too.
Oh God, I am so lost on this. Falcons at Jaguars. Jaguars just had a terrible loss, but there's a lot of talent on that team. Who did the Falcons play last week? Was it the Packers game where they lost to the Pack? No, the Packers came back.
That was Saints, I think.
The Saints. The Falcons played someone else. All right, you know what? I'm just gonna say Jaguars minus 3.
I'm going to say Jags minus 5. I think they're better. That's in the Vegas zone for me. Okay, let's see what it is. Ooh, Jags minus 3. You nailed it. Interesting. Ooh, okay. So Vegas thinks they're roughly the same.
Okay. All right, 1-1.
Very interesting. Okay. So let's do Dolphins at Bills.
This is a good game. I am going to call this one a pick 'em.
Interesting. I think I'm just going to go standard Bills minus three. I think Vegas will say they're equal. Bills minus 2.5.
Whew, okay. All right.
So they're
I
saying
don't know.
Bills are just a
Dolphins are coming
tad.
off 70 points, and they're, yeah. I
You
hear.
know, but
Wow.
this could be one of those classic letdown games.
It's true. It's true. Okay.
They
I should have thought that way.
scored the 70. I think that makes sense.
Okay.
All right, next we got Vikings at Panthers. Oh, this is a tough one.
Oh, Vikings at Panthers. I'm gonna say Vikings minus two.
How bad are the Panthers? Because the Vikings obviously aren't that great, but at least they've got Kirk and a
Panthers
good
suck,
offense.
especially if they have Bryce Young in there. He's not looked good. Which is sad. I liked him coming out. I like Bama.
Yeah, and the Panthers are 0-3, so you could. So I think Viking. I think it's got to be at least Viking something. You said Vikings minus two.
Yeah. You know, Bryce
Maybe
Young. Okay.
I'll do closer to zero. I'll go to Vikings minus 1.5.
Okay.
All right, let's see what we got. Ooh, you were closer, but it's more. It's Vikings minus four.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, Panthers are pretty trash. And
Okay, so yeah.
Vikings need one. They're 0-3.
So Vegas is given the Vikings a decent amount of respect. That's good stuff. Okay. We got Broncos at Bears. Oh God.
Oh, this is the only line that I think I do know, and that's only because it was hilarious that the Broncos got 70 put up on them and then were favored by three, I believe, against the Bears. I think it's Broncos minus three, but it might have changed throughout the week. It might be like minus 2.5 now, but I'll say Broncos minus three.
Okay, so Broncos minus three. But even at the Bears, though?
I heard the
Interesting.
line like a week ago, like right after the games were played, just because it was like a meme that like they just got 70 put up on them and they were favored by three. But I don't know what it is now, to be honest.
That's so interesting because I feel like I would take a look. I mean, I guess are the Bears that bad? Maybe they're thinking Wilson
Bears
off.
are rough,
Okay.
very rough. And their defensive coordinator just resigned.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, it is Broncos minus three. That's interesting. I would have thought it was a little bit
Yeah,
better.
you can leave that one out. I think we're still 2-2. I won't count that one because I did see that one.
All right, Ravens at Browns.
Oh boy. This one I've not seen the line. I'm a little bit worried about this game. Everyone's hyping up this Browns defense. I do have a feeling that they're going to be favored just because how injured my Ravens are. I'm going to say Browns minus 2.5.
So Ravens at Browns. I mean, the Ravens have looked okay. I guess they haven't looked great.
I was at the game on Sunday.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So what's your feeling on the Ravens this year?
I mean, it's another cursed year of injuries, is my feeling. There's a certain level that injuries get to where you're like, what is even going on here? So just for reference, for those that don't know, Lamar Jackson actually put out a good meme on that's his last tweet literally right now. And when you look at it, the meme is a quote retweet of Ravens' current injuries. So this was on after the game on Sunday, current injuries. All four starting running backs, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, Gus Edwards, and Keaton Mitchell, all four. Two starting wide receivers, Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman, backup wide receiver was out. Starting center was out. Starting left tackle was out. Now, this is where you get to know that it's a cursed team. The freaking long snapper tore his Achilles. Okay.
Ouch.
The long snapper tore his Achilles. Then, of course, our number one corner, Marlon, the only person that people really know on this defense besides for Roquan, is out. Both of our starting edge linebackers, Odafe Oweh and David Ajabo, Tyus Bowser's still out. Our starting safety, Marcus Williams, is out with a pec. Our Darius Washington is on IR. He was our backup safety. So, like, that's why I'm saying I think the Ravens have a Super Bowl team if they're all healthy. Like, I mean, you look at the team and they are just stacked, but half the team is injured. I mean, all four starting running backs and both starting wide receivers are injured. So it's like, what is happening here? So that's why I'm saying Browns minus 2.5.
Wow, because originally I was leaning more closer to pick 'em, but now that you're saying everybody's injured and they looked so much better, the Browns did last week. Maybe I'll do Browns minus 1.5. So let's see what it is. Oh, okay, a classic Browns minus three. There you go. Nice call.
Okay. Yeah. I just had a feeling, especially at Browns with that defense. Have you watched Myles Garrett this year?
No, I have not watched the Browns games.
Okay. I have not watched a ton of Browns games, but there was one play that I watched where I just literally all I had to see was that one play to know that this defense is ridiculous. So it's Browns versus Steelers, Kenny Pickett. And Kenny Pickett's in the pocket. I see Myles Garrett lining up, left tackle, whoever lines up against him. Kenny Pickett goes, hut, hut. Ball comes back immediately. Myles Garrett just somehow jumps and goes sideways, like a foot, and just like jumps sideways a foot and then just rushes. And there's literally nobody in the gap. And it was so quick that the tackle couldn't even move. And Myles Garrett just sacks Kenny Pickett. And I was like, holy moly. Like, I've never seen anybody move like that in my life. So yeah, that Garrett alone. I mean, and then of course they have Zadarius, who I know very well. Zadarius was literally in Baltimore. It's where he made his bread and butter in his career. And they've got Tomlinson in there for run defense. I mean, it's a scary defensive line, and Myles Garrett's a scary man. I mean, that play just shocked me.
Well, speaking of Pickett, we got Steelers at Texans next. And this is, I mean, I don't think Pickett's that good, but I do admit that the Steelers can be all right. The Texans, Stroud does look great, but it's still young and fresh and new. So I still think they're not that. I mean, I think the Steelers are better than the Texans. I think that's fair.
Is it at Texans?
Yeah, it's in Houston, yep.
All right. I'm going to say Steelers minus 2.5. I'm going to say Steelers minus 2.
Okay, I was going Steelers minus 1.5, so let's see. Minus 2.5, nice. There you
Okay.
go. There you go. Yeah, I think you got a nice streak going here. Okay, Rams at Colts. Next one.
Oh, boy. Anthony
This is
Richardson is
a tough
supposed to
one.
play this
Shit.
week.
I
Richardson
don't
is
know
on.
how Vegas is thinking about the either of these teams.
Richardson is on pace to play. The left tackle went down for the Rams in their last game against the Bengals. I don't know if he's back. If he's not, DeForest Buckner might have a pretty good day. I'm going to say it's at Colts. God, I mean, I'm just gonna go pick him.
You're gonna go pick them. Yeah, so I Colts minus 3 is probably too much, right? Because
Gotta be. It's gotta
Colts.
be. It might be
Yeah.
Colts one. I
Yeah,
could
because Colts are I think what the Rams have shown is that they're decent.
Dude, they got the answer. My guy Puka Nacua.
Yeah. And especially if even if Richardson is back, he's still young. You've got Minshew, so maybe Colts by. So you said pick 'em. All right, maybe I'll do Colts by 1.5 to be a little different and give them a little credit. Let's see. Oh, I think it is Colts. Oh, it is pick 'em. There we go.
Ho-ho!
Wow.
Knew there had to be one in here. There hasn't been a pick them yet this season.
I think what it's saying PK.
Let's pick them.
Let's pick them. Perfect. Okay. All right. Next we got okay, we got Bucks at Saints.
Ooh. I believe Derek Carr is still out. This might be a Jamo versus his
Oh
old
gosh.
Buccaneers game. Dude, one of my favorite, I don't know if you watch this stuff, but I love going and listening to like the sound clips that they catch of players and like the little like stuff that NFL shares after the games. And one of my favorite ones this season, I mean, we all know Jameis Winston likes to chuck it deep. There's no secret. So there's a play where it's the Saints playing against someone else. I think it was week one, actually. So whoever they opened up against. And Derek Carr, I think he's getting hit and he gets frustrated when he gets hit, And he basically is like, screw it, like, let's do a go route to Shaheed. And he turns to Shaheed, he goes, you ready to go long? I'm gonna need you to just run as hard as you can. He gets to the bench and he basically turns to the coach and he goes, go route to Shaheed. And the coach turns and looks over at Jameis and goes, go route to Shaheed. And Jameis's eyes just light up.
Oh,
Like
that's great.
you just see him here go route and he goes, yes. And then they like chucked it. It was like a 45-yard completion to Rashid Shaheed. So shout out that. Shout out Jameis.
That's fantastic.
What a weird first overall pick. Thinking back to that. Yeah, Bucks at Saints. I'm gonna say Saints minus 1.5.
Yeah, because the oh, interesting. Because I'm thinking probably.
Bucks might be favored in this. I
Oh,
actually don't know.
yeah.
It depends.
Yeah.
If Derek was out, then I think Bucks minus one. I don't know if he's in or out. I didn't look. It's Bucks minus one in my opinion. If he's in, if he's out, Saints minus 1.5 if he's in.
Even in New Orleans.
Yes.
Interesting. Because
Bucks are a good team. They were 2-0 and they just lost to the Eagles. And they didn't get shellacked by the Eagles. It was 10-25, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm still not crazy about Baker.
Baker's kind of interesting because he's not that good, but he's playing like he has nothing to lose. So, you know, it gives him a little bit of an edge.
So maybe, yeah, so you're thinking, okay, you take Baker over Jameis. That's reasonable. Saints are home, but the Bucks have been playing better. What was your guess?
I was going to say Saints minus 1.5 if
Carr
he's
this morning.
in. I don't know if Carr's in. I'm not sure. I don't think that he is. To be honest,
I don't
you know
think
what?
he
He's not going to
is
be.
either.
He's
Yeah.
not going to be in because they have concussion protocol now, and you have to be at least a week out for concussion protocol now, I believe. So I'm actually going to change that and say Bucks minus one.
All right, I'll go pick him. I don't have a good feel for it. Let's see what it is. Oh, it's Saints minus three.
Okay. I
So
think Carr's out. Like Saints minus three with J-Mo.
okay, so they are saying that I guess they're not giving Baker that much credit for the past couple games then.
Nope. With that
Interesting.
defense.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. All right. So next we got Commanders. Oh, this is going to be a good one to guess. Commanders at Eagles.
I'm going to say
Lopsided.
Eagles minus 11.5.
Oh wow, that high. Okay, because when I think of these when Bill and Sal do them, it's like, okay, there's the 3 to 4.5 range, and then there's the 6 to 7.5 range, and then yeah, there's the 10 range. You can do it. 11.5, that seems high to me. I'm thinking more 9.5. So we have a
Okay.
little bit of spread there. Let's see what we got. Oh, -8. Okay.
All right. All right. You know
So
why they're doing that? It's because that was their only loss last year with Hurts was to the Commanders.
okay. Yeah,
So
11.5 this early in the season is tough, I think.
yeah, but the Commanders just lost 35-3 to the Bills, and I think the Eagles are better than the Bills, and it's at Lincoln Financial Field, but I'll take it. I hear.
All right, Bengals at Titans. And the assumption should be that Burrow's in for this game.
He is going to be in.
Man, this is another tough one. I feel like these are more than previous years. These lines are not that big between teams because I don't think this is going to be that big either.
We're still early season two. It's only week four. Bengals, Titans. You want to go first on this one?
Yeah, so I mean, look, the Bengals have potential, definitely, but they haven't shown much. So I think they're better than the Titans, but I'm not sure they're that much better. And then Titans, like I always like how I think Vrabel's a good coach. He keeps teams honest. They have a good defense. So, I mean, I don't know if I want to say pick them because that's like an easy way out, but maybe I do. Maybe I give Titans a bit of a. I'll go pick them because I think the Bengals are better, but I don't think they're that much better.
I will say, oh, that is a good pick'em. I will say Titans minus one.
All right, let's see what we got. Oh, Titans +2.
Huh. Should have gone the other
Interesting.
way.
Interesting.
They just do not give the Titans any. I mean, they can stop the run, but I guess that's not the problem. You know, that's what I should have thought about. Bengals don't want to run it. Mixon hasn't been good this year. They want to throw it to Chase, and Titans can't stop anyone in the secondary. I should have thought that way. Yeah, that's a good call.
Okay, Raiders at Chargers. Raiders suck, so that's an interesting one.
You seen Chandler Jones on Twitter today?
Dude, what the hell is going on? Is he? I remember the video from a couple years ago when he was on that like K2 synthetic weed and kind of, I don't know if that messed his brain up a little bit, plus CTE. Those are the jokes going around on Twitter.
That whole family is nuts. I mean, you know who his brother is, right?
No, I off the top of my head, I don't know.
John Bones Jones. Greatest UFC fighter of all time.
Did not know
So,
that. Wow, okay.
yeah, Johnny Bones, fun fact. And actually, his brother Arthur was actually in the NFL as well and won a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
Wow.
In fact, he was a defensive end. Pretty wild family, crazy athletes. But yeah, John Bones Jones is his older brother. So, yeah, this was. Raiders at Chargers. I'm just gonna go chalk Chargers -3. Maybe it's
Oh,
minus
okay. So
4.5.
you're giving
Yeah,
credence to the Bill Simmons idea that they're not getting any home field advantage.
it's hard to give them home field advantage. I'll say -4. I'll say -4.
See, I was thinking Chargers -7.
Okay.
Right, let's see what we got. Oh, okay, perfect. Chargers -5.5, so we split it.
Spread it. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I'm just thinking the Chargers, like, they're just so much better and they're at home. But you know what I think that is? I think that's basically Vegas giving them 1.5, not 3
Yeah.
for home. That makes sense. And maybe, you know what, because of the whole, you know, who, what teams are going to show, you know, what fans are going to show up. Ooh, okay, so this is the great one. Patriots at Cowboys.
I was going to say real quick on that Chargers one. I saw this meme when I was like 13 years old, and it's still applicable. It was two iPhone chargers sitting next to each other with speech bubbles. And one of them said, "Dad, are we going to win the Super Bowl?" And the other one just said back, "No, son, we're Chargers." And I don't know why that just stuck with me, but literally, it's just been so true for like a decade.
Oh, they lose in the worst fashion all the time. It's bizarre.
Nothing coming there. I guess I can't talk. It's been a while since the Ravens won. But what are we up to? We're up to you said Cardinals or which one?
Patriots at Cowboys.
Ooh, Pats at the Cowboys. I'm gonna say Cowboys -4.5. Actually, Cowboys -5. I'll give them all no, 4.5. Cowboys -4.5.
Interesting. Okay, so you're kind of thinking. Because okay, so Cowboys do have an injury, but I think they are clearly better. They are coming out off the loss. Patriots coming off the win. I think the Cowboys are good enough to be more than decently favored, but also the Patriots are a public team. I'll go Cowboys by. I'll go Cowboys by 6.
All right, fair.
6.5. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah, I should have. I was given. I
You're
always
giving
give.
Mac too much credit.
I give Belichick like a point and a half usually.
Yeah.
It's not
Yeah.
Mac. I'll tell you that. That was not my thought. It was not Mac. It was Belichick.
All right. Nice. Yeah. Let's see. Next, we got Cardinals at 49ers. Oof. This could be a big one. Although the
Yeah.
Cardinals have looked decent, obviously, they just beat the
I will
Dallas.
say Niners minus. I'm just gonna do 9. Yeah,
Yeah, because
Niners.
I think this is more than a standard 7 because the even after last game, the Cardinals are so bad. And then the 49ers have just been trouncing teams. So yeah, I think for me it's between 7 and 10, 8.5. 8.5 versus 9. You said 9.
Yeah.
I'll go but they've been so good. I'll go 9.5.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, go Jeff, whoa. -14.
Okay. Yeah. I had a
Holy
feeling
crap.
this is what I should have thought of for that Eagles game.
Holy crap. Minus
Yeah.
14. I
I'll
guess
take
that means that Vegas is just like, yeah, the Cardinals, that was their Super Bowl last week.
I think that's part of it, but I also think that Vegas knows that people have been making money on the Niners and they're tired of it.
Yeah, I mean Shanahan, geez, that guy just crushes it. This guy. And Bill and Sal used to make fun of him. I remember Bill, even Sal referenced that in the pod this year. He's like, yeah, we, you know, people, they bring up that video of us making fun of him for being a 500 coach last season.
True. Yeah. I mean, Shanahan all time, I think he's like 0.45, something like that, win percentage. But again, the Niners are an awesome team usually in the beginning of the season. They have the same problem as the Ravens, and it's injuries. And then they're just playing without those players. But yeah, I mean, their team's loaded.
Yeah, no, completely.
Oh, and I'm a big Brock Purdy fan. I don't understand why people are so not into this. Big cock Brock. I'm a fan. I mean, dude doesn't lose, and he's like he's not scared to throw the ball downfield. He stands in the pocket, doesn't really have to run much. But again, I mean, he's do you could call him a system quarterback, but so was Brady.
Well, I think Ruiz doing the rankings for the Ringer. What is he, the 27th ranked quarterback in his rankings?
It's ridiculous.
And the thing with those is that he knows it's a bit by now, but yeah, like there's some jokes, but if you're doing a QB rankings, you really should try to be pretty accurate. He likes putting Tua really low as well. I mean, Brock Purdy, and it's all over Twitter too. It's like, yeah, Brock, he's asked to do so little. All he's got to do is make these basic passes. Well, first of all, not every quarterback is that accurate in the short game, so that's a positive for him. And second of all, kind of you alluded to it, he's great in the pressure. So there, if you look at Justin Fields, you know,
Yeah.
Justin Fields, if he gets pressure at times, he will take off. Brock Purdy stays in the pocket, assesses where he needs to throw is his reads and then does it. So just, you know, Ruiz or whoever it is tweeting out an infographic of where Brock Purdy threw the ball last game, that is not at all telling the full story of what he was doing that game. So yeah, I totally agree. I think people are, look, at the end of the day, this is like, is yeah, you can't argue with the stats at the end of the day. I'm sorry.
Nope, he's really good against the blitz. And in my opinion, being good against the blitz is one of the most difficult things to do in the NFL. It's immense pressure in your face, six, seven guys sometimes coming. You can't even see the safety on your blind side. And if you're throwing touchdowns against the blitz, you are good in my book.
Yeah, no, totally agree. All right, this would have been a fantastic game if Rodgers was healthy. Chiefs at Jets, the Sunday night game. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, this will be Taylor Swift is going to be in the crowd for this one. So I'm sure we'll get plenty of shots from NBC cameras. That'll be interesting. Collinsworth will have his say for what he thinks about Swift. But yeah, I mean, look, the Chiefs. You know they're the Chiefs. I mean, what more is there to say about them? And when they have Kelce and the Jets have Zach Wilson still, so there's not much to like there.
Yeah, not much to like at all. Jets don't look good. I'm going to take Chiefs by 11 and a half.
Okay, so that is a lot. Okay, so that's interesting. So you have 49ers minus 14 at home. You're going. I'm going Chiefs. I'll go Chiefs.
Going to go under 7.5?
I was thinking 7.5 because because it's given
Seven and a half
that
is good. Maybe I'm a little too high. I'll take 10. I'll take 10.
I'll do 7.5. Let's see. 9.5. Okay, the 10 was closer to 11.5. Yeah. That
Yeah.
makes sense. Yeah, so it doesn't really matter if they're home. That makes sense. All
Nah, the
right.
Chiefs are about to whoop some butt.
Yeah. And then the
I
Monday
was gonna
Nighter.
say, I saw another one of those memes today, and it was like when the Chiefs are up 35-0 on you and Taylor Swift and all the Swifties are just cheering for Kelce in your stadium. And I was gonna send it to my Jets fan, but then to be honest, I've sent them so many memes of making fun of the Jets, and it's only been 3 weeks that I felt bad. I just didn't send it.
Oh, they're
So
so
that's the point that we've gotten to.
yeah. Oh man, it's rough. Yeah, that's I feel for the Jets fans. And I was looking forward to how Rodgers. I mean, I always root for an NFL season full of the best storylines. And to me, Rodgers on the Jets was such a fun storyline for so many reasons. So like that, I wanted that. I wanted to see in a game like this would have been so much fun with him. And it's such a bummer that he's not out there. But yeah, so let's finish it off here. Seahawks at Giants.
All right, so this is an interesting game. I do think that, the Giants have not shown a lot this year. They've been pretty terrible overall. They had one comeback game against the Cardinals. They got demolished by the Dallas team. Did they lose last week too? Who'd they lose to?
Oh, or they did they? Yeah, they had the one crazy comeback, but
That
yeah, let me.
was week two. Last week, the Giants
Oh,
played
49ers, and they
the
got
Niners,
roasted.
and they got smacked around by the Niners. Yeah, they're not going to be favored, in my opinion. I'm going to say Seahawks minus 1.5.
I was debating between 2.5 and 3 because I just yeah, I do think the Seahawks was a better team. I'll go Seahawks 2.5.
Okay.
Oh, Giants minus one. What?
Okay. They're just taking home field advantage in Dable, I guess.
I think the Giants are terrible.
Yeah, the Giants have not looked good this year. The Seahawks don't have a great defense, but they're about to put up like 35 on the Giants.
Really? Well, maybe that's part of the Seahawks. It's the whole Seahawks are traveling east. The Giants are. That's interesting too. The Giants are going from Thursday night football to Monday, so they have a lot of rest. Maybe that's in it, but like that does not seem right. That's a classic Bill. Like that line seems off to me.
That is the Luca Brasi line of the week.
That's funny. Yeah, that's the major one. So all right, I was not keeping track of who was winning, but that was fun.
Yeah, me either. Good time though. I've never done that before. It's harder than I thought, but I feel like I did okay.
No, I think you did pretty well. Yeah, I bet I think you probably beat me, but you yeah, I think you hit a couple of them exactly. But yeah, it's like fun because it's like, all right, is it 3? Is it 7? Is it Vegas zone? How much is home field advantage for certain circumstances? So yeah, so kudos to Bill and Sal for doing that for all these years and giving us so much joy from that. Yeah, when I was living in a city where I walked every day and then in college too. Man, I loved putting on those Guest the Lines pods all the time. Those are just a joyous time on Mondays to listen to.
I love it. Oh, dude,
We're all right.
I totally forgot that I didn't even set my lineup. Hopefully
Yeah,
my
there is. So I was thinking if you have a little bit more time, do you want to go into a little bit more of what you do, kind of set the stage for the listeners out there of kind of what your jam is with all the spaces.
Yeah, I got about 10 more minutes. Does that work for you?
Perfect, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for those that are unfamiliar, if you go to Twitter at any point, if you've checked out Spaces, you may have even heard of my stuff. It's Wolf underscore financial on Twitter. So I am a full-time Spaces host. I host usually about 30 to 40 hours a week of content, most of it between 9 to 5 areas, sometimes a little bit in the evenings. Pretty much all of it focused on investing, but investing in all different types of things. It can be investing in stocks. It can be investing in bonds. It can be investing in real estate. It can be investing in Web3, crypto, blockchain, AI, whatever it is. And I bring on a wide variety of analysts and investors to get their opinions. I play host a lot. I give my own opinion, but I usually am the one asking the questions. I also work with publicly traded companies, ETFs, basically getting them a spot to talk directly to investors. And of course, a lot of individual private companies that want to also get interviewed. Things along those lines. That's what I do with Spaces. We have a pretty good show. We get several thousand people usually throughout the day. I have another show that's also within my network that is Pure Trading. I have a different host that runs that show. They get about 5 to 15,000 people a day coming to that one. So we're getting a pretty nice audience, both in the trading and the investing side of things. And then outside of that, I also help a lot of influencers, people with large audiences, to monetize within the finance world. That's what I would say is the summation of it, but happy to answer any questions you have within that.
No, that's fantastic, man. And I was, curious because I am in this kind of similar field as well for my job, the non-Arville Simmons pod that I'm doing in my free time. What are some what's like a top theme or like what are some good discussion points going on right now in the spaces? Like maybe what are some of the more interesting themes that are going down and sort of what you're seeing lately?
In the finance space or in the like Twitter space.
I was thinking finance investments, but I mean, honestly, up to you. Anything you're seeing that you think is interesting?
Yeah, I would say within the stock market itself, you know, it's been quite the year. I think people are still a little timid from past years. Basically, what happened is COVID came along, everybody got into the stock market, more accounts created than ever, right? All good times. And people were hopping in, market couldn't do nothing but go up, right? And it went up and up and up and up and up. Until right around, I'm just pulling up the weekly chart for SPY here real quick so I can actually have this. It pretty much went up until January of 2022. Then we kind of bumped around a little bit and we were falling and falling, and we fell all the way to the end of really the October of 2022. And at that point, we had come down roughly 27, 26% from the highs. And I think that that was just a long, tenuous year for a lot of retail investors. Now, money managers and traders, you know, a lot of them have been around for longer. They went through 07, they went through 03, 02 area, maybe even some of them, the 80s, the 90s, right? So they probably didn't get scared out. It was just another year to them. It was a bad year, down 27% on SPY, but not something they hadn't seen before. But for a lot of people, it really tired them out. And, you know, they kind of gave up, right? Struggled, just went back to the S&P 500. And because of that, a lot of them didn't partake in this year. But this year overall has been really good, especially up to July. I mean, end of July, we were up at one point, you know, if you're looking at SPY, kind of going from a year to date, I believe, was it over 20%? At that point, let's take a look for a second. So, looking at the year-to-date chart on my screen, we are still up 11.43%. We were up 19% at the end of July. That's a big year. Now, that's just SPY, which is the S&P 500. When you go to a more tech-focused area, it's been the year of tech. QQQ is still up 33.26% right now, year-to-date, and it's almost at its highs. At its high, it was up 43.5% year-to-date. You know, think about that. Not an individual company, not just putting your money into something maybe more risky, less diversified, literally buying the top 100 NASDAQ-listed stocks, good diversification, up 45% almost on the year. So that has, I think, brought a little people back, but they're still timid, right? Now we've just chopped around. We've had a little bit of a rougher week, a rougher month on these areas. So right now, I think the retail investors have definitely taken a little bit of a step back and they're kind of being a little bit more cautious. But the more advanced investors that I see are poking around all the other areas of the ecosystem that are working. Basically, they're saying, hey, tech worked out really well. The trade was there. NVIDIA went up 400%. Awesome. What's next, right? Because what investors, savvy investors, look for is what's called rotation, right? They look for, hey, money came into here. It is now going out. Money does not just come out, it goes somewhere else. Where is it rotating? So the big area that it's rotated into this year has been oil. And this happened as well in 2022. I believe this was, you know, a good year where people were looking at it. And this can be reflected in things like Occidental Petroleum, or there was a one of these that hit, God, which one is it? That hit all-time highs literally yesterday. It's the one that Buffett loves buying. I think it's XOM, I want to say, ExxonMobil. Yeah. So this one hit all-time highs yesterday, right? And so these are still doing pretty good. So the savvier investors are basically rotating into things like oil or shorting gold, right? Because gold's been having a big downfall for the last, gosh, I don't know, since really May. Gold has just kind of fallen off a cliff. Or they're getting into things like copper, right? And stuff like that, which the average investor just isn't going to look at or go that deep, or they're like trading small caps. So that's where I see us right now. I think a lot of people gotten shaken out or kind of sitting there just waiting. Or maybe they're just like, hey, you know, screw it. Like, I'm just going to throw all my money in Tesla or Nvidia. Like, these are the things of the future. I'm not going to take these pot shots at all these little stocks anymore that I was doing in 2020 and 2021. And the other investors who are more savvy are like, okay, let's just focus on rotation. And then you have your day traders that are just kind of sprinkled throughout the mix. But that's my short form analysis on it.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, I've liked those the data that shows even Nvidia itself, but Nvidia and the top companies throw Meta in there, Google and Amazon this year. And then you have those Magnificent Seven or whatever the phrase is, and then the rest of the market. Those huge companies are taking the market. But yeah, Nvidia has done such an amazing performance this year that what they beat earnings last time, they guided for 16 billion versus maybe the street was more like 12 to 13 billion for that quarter. And I think the stock initially was up 10% plus on that, but then came back down to earth because ultimately, how much farther can it really go at this point? It's already run so much. So yeah, I agree with you. And I think what I don't think the market is that frothy. It's certainly been much more frothy in years past. Maybe it's a little bit frothier in the tech companies, but there's plenty of beaten down stocks in other areas that have a lot more reasonable valuations right sitting here in late 23 than they did during the pandemic and after that. So I think there's areas to hop into and to turn over some stones if you're not just looking to buy the index. And then, yeah, to your point, I mean, given how well tech stocks have done, do you need to keep having a big allocation to them if you've had it? Maybe not. The other thing is that with bond yields so high right now, what happens? These tech stocks that have long-term earnings and typically have been performing better with lower interest rates, that's a potential tailwind for them too. If they can keep their earnings power high and rates go lower, if we do get into a recession, yes, the general market's going to go down if we have a recession, but lower rates would help the tech stock. So yeah, I agree. It's been a really interesting year, and I think what a lot of what has happened is everybody thought there was going to be a recession, and so that was 70, 80, 90% baked into the prices. And really, when 80% of people think something's going to happen, it usually doesn't. And so I think that's like the 2023 trade has been strong performance by select tech companies, like you said, energy companies with oil, and then just general, we haven't had a recession. Now I think into 24, it's tech's not going to work as well, probably. Is there anything else that can take us up? And if there isn't, is there a potential for downside going forward if we do have a recession? So yeah, I'm certainly fascinated by it going forward, and it's a fun space to cover and look at.
100%. Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. And I agree with you. It's not quite, doom and gloom necessarily. I think it's just tired out a lot of those people that came in a couple of years ago. They're not as super active within it. And that'll probably come back once we get another roar and the next catalyst. And it seems like AI is maybe going to be, a continuous theme. But I am there day in, day out. So if you're someone that's listening to this and you are an investor or a trader, or you don't really know much about the market, or you know a lot, I'm sure I will have a show that is a good fit for you regardless. So hop in, tune in. It'll be a good time.
Perfect, love it. So yeah, we'll get you out of here. Appreciate you coming on. It's Wolf_Financial. Just follow, and you'll be, you'll see the Twitter spaces come up, and maybe I'll even try to hop into some of them. And if you're looking for a Bill Simmons-esque take on some markets, I'm more than happy to give them. But hey, man, really appreciate the time. It was awesome for you to come on here. Had fun guessing the lines, and yeah, really, really appreciate it. And hope the listeners enjoyed it, and we'll follow you and check out your spaces.
Love it. Thanks so much for having me on. What do they say? Good job by you, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. I can't do the impression, but that is what they say. Yeah. All right. Cheers, man.
Cheers.